All right. So the title of my message is Finding God's Will for My Life, or Finding the Right Path for Me in Life. So how do I find God's perfect will for me? Proverbs 3 and 5. Does someone have it open? Cole, can you read it?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and not unto thine own.
And 6?
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Okay. So there's two key words here for those two verses. What do you think is the key word in the first verse? Anybody want to guess?
Trust.
Trust? What's the key word in the second verse?
Acknowledge.
Does anybody know what acknowledge means? TJ, you know what it means?
Pay attention to.
Pay attention to? Recognize something? Okay, so the first word, I think everybody knows those verses pretty well, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, what you think's right. In all thy ways acknowledge him, or recognize God as being all knowledge, right? When we acknowledge people, we're usually saying, this person has this degree and that degree, and we're recognizing them for all the knowledge they have. So the second verse is saying, in all thy ways acknowledge him, God, that he's all-knowing, right? And that he should know what path I should take. So first, we've got to be saved in order to make good choices, right? To choose the right path, you think we can choose it if we're not saved? Nope. We've got to have God in our hearts guiding us in order to take the right path. I think about Christian with this, the story, and we had done that out in Oregon, and things just really stuck out to me in Pilgrim's Progress. You know, the path, many times, you know, there'd be a fork in the path. Christian would be like, what way do I go? And sometimes evangelists would come. Sometimes Mr. Help would come. And there's times in our lives someone like that can come. We, you know, in church, our leaders, our pastor, that can direct us down that right path. But there was times that Christian ran into other people that also influenced him to take the right, wrong path, correct? You guys remember the story? Okay, so in order for me to make a good choice, I've got to have a manual or a handbook. Here's my manual. Here's my handbook, right? In school, you have a handbook, and you got to read it, and the parents got to read it, and it's the worst thing in the world to read. And we got a sign that we read the student handbook. And it's got all the dumbest rules ever, right? So you got to have a manual, though. You got to have rules. You've got to have something that's going to guide you. And if I want to put a bookcase together, I better get the instructions out, the manual, or else I'm going to put it together wrong. So we've got to have some form of instruction to guide us. And we better open God's Word up. If we never open this up, how are we going to know what path to take in life? If you never open this up, there are verses in here that will definitely guide you. There are times you're not going to get a straight answer, but this is going to give you some guidance. A little bit of guidance about which path you should take, right? David talked about the paths of life, and although he was a great king, many times through the Psalms, through the scriptures that he wrote, he's asking for guidance. And he says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Psalms 27:11, "Teach me thy path, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Psalms 23:3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Through reading the handbook, we're going to be able to choose the right path. Obedience is one of the big keys. Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents. Amen. In the Lord, for this is right. Hebrews 13 and 7, obey them that have the rule over you. Youth pastors, Sunday school teachers, pastor, right? As well as parents, people that have the rule over us. We don't always think our parents know what's best. Okay, I was there. I was a young person and thought my parents did not always have the right answers, thought they were too strict, thought they didn't know what they were talking about, right? As a kid, you're going to always think they're old-fashioned, they're not up on technology, they don't have a clue that I need a phone and I need to text and I need to do this, that, and the other, right? But the parents have been down a few paths. Maybe not the technology path you're going down, but they've been down a few paths and they know where some things can lead you. The influence there. It's still the same thing about influence and peer pressure, whether it's through texting or through writing a letter, or through email, right? There's still just that whole thing of peer pressure, influence. Some things don't change from generation to generation. But the key word is obedience. If you obey your pastor, and if you obey your leaders, you're heading down the right path. But if you're constantly rebelling against what mom and dad says, and rebelling against what the pastor says, and rebelling against what your youth leaders, you're going down the wrong path already. You're not going to be able to make good choices in life. You definitely will never make the right choice. Do you think Abraham understood why God said, go sacrifice your only son? He waited how many years? 90, 100 years to get this son? And God said, take him out there and offer him a sacrifice? Do you think he understood that? There's going to be some things you don't understand in life. Whether your parent says no to something, or says go do something, or the pastor says go do something, there might be some things we might never understand. But obedience is the key. And if we obey, we're going to always be on the right path. Whether we understand it, Abraham went out and did that. I don't see where he ever said, well, God, what do you think you're talking about? Do you really think you know what you're saying? This is my only son. You want me to go sacrifice him? That'd be killing. That'd be against your rule. He didn't question God. He thought, God knows what he's telling me to do. He knows what he's doing here. He went out and did it. You're not going to always understand, like I said, what your parents are. But it's not just your parents. You get out in the real world. You're not going to understand a boss sometimes. The boss says, I want you to do this today. And you're going to think, that's the dumbest thing ever. I don't want to go do it. Well, you better go do it, right? Because if they see that you're always willing and always obedient, you're going to be the one that gets the promotion, not somebody that's always bucking up against the rules. If a parent gave you everything you wanted in life, hey, here, no curfew, no rules, no boundaries, you can have it all. You want the key of the car? Take it. You want to stay out till 2 in the morning? Go for it. You want to date whoever you want to date? Go for it. Do you think that'd be good for you? To me, it'd be like a parent giving you nothing but junk food. Yeah, eat another Twinkie. Go have another Twinkie, another ho-ho. Fill yourself full. Don't you eat the first thing that's healthy, though. Don't you eat vegetables or meat, but you eat those ho-hos and Twinkies. Pretty soon, you're 500 pounds. You're sitting in your recliner. Can't get out because you can't walk. You got bad knees. You're in heart failure. Your kidneys have shut down. Now you got bed sores, so you can't even get up and move because you've been sitting all this time, so now you have a bed sore. And then you look at mom and dad and say, why did you feed me nothing but junk, junk, junk? Right? Might be a funny illustration, but that's what basically your parents will be doing. Your pastor would be doing. If they let you just have everything you wanted, God would be doing if he said, oh, just have everything you want.
Right.
It makes us like a spoilt brat if we just get whatever we want. We're ungrateful. We're unthankful. We're not happy people. But remember, the key word here is obey. While you're young, under 18, your parents are directing you down a path. So you might not be able to choose some paths right now if you're under 18. Your parents are saying, you're going to go to school, you're going to do your homework, you're going to eat your vegetables, you're going to go to bed at 9 or 10 or whatever they say, okay? And you better be home by 9 when you go out with your friends. So there are some things when you're at home, your parents are going to kind of drag you down that path. You're not going to have a lot of choices. But all of a sudden, school's out, I'm 18, I get to make choices in life now. And you know, as soon as you're out of school, there's a million paths to go. And all of a sudden, it's a little bit scary. What path do I choose? Do I go to college? Do I go to work here? Do I marry this person? Or do I just stay home and help on the farm or whatever, you know, there is to do at home? There is a lot of choices to make. And it's scary because let me tell you something. From being in the young people's group many, 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 many years, I saw lots of young people make wrong choices. It's a very, very sad thing. I mean, statistics will say several of you are going to make wrong choices. But let's not be a statistic, right? Let's say, no, I'm not going to be that statistic. I'm going to follow God's plan for my life, and I'm going to make the right choice. Be determined that you're not going to be a fatal statistic. Amen. If there's ever a gift to ask for, you know how the Bible talks about gifts? Gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of this, that, and the other. One of those gifts is the gift of discernment. And many times I've said, God, give me discernment. And as a young person, you should start praying now. Maybe you're not out of school yet. Maybe you are. But you need discernment to know, is this really the right choice for me? Because every decision you make is serious. It can lead you down a wrong path. And it can mess your life up forever. And it doesn't have to be just choosing a companion. Getting a wrong job can be fatal, right? It can lead you down a wrong path. We need discernment to say, God, where are you leading me? What do you want me to do? Solomon, we've been studying Solomon in Sunday school. Solomon, who asked God, he said, you can have anything you want. Solomon could have asked for a million things. Oh, I want to be rich. I want you to kill all my enemies down here. I want to have the best kingdom ever. But Solomon asked for wisdom. What a great and awesome thing to ask for. He said, God, there's so many people. How can I discern between good and evil? I need to know how to guide this people. And God was so excited that he chose that he went ahead and gave him riches.
Right.
Went ahead and gave him other good things. When we choose the right path, God's going to bless you. He's going to give you lots of other blessings that you never asked for if you will make the right choice to begin with. If you don't make the right choice, you're going to have nothing but heartache, heartache, and heartache all around you. It is way more serious than I can ever make it about making the right decisions in life, finding that right path. You're never too young to start praying now. I remember being told by my parents, start now praying for that right companion. Start now praying. Get several years of praying under your belt, letting God know, I'm serious about this.
Right.
I don't want to mess up my life. I don't want to marry the wrong one. I don't want to choose the wrong career in life. I don't want to go down that wrong path. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You think God thinks the same way we do? Nope. And he said it right there. My thoughts are not your thoughts, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. So how are we going to know what God's thoughts are for us? How are we going to know? We've got to talk to him. Okay, unless I talk to my parents and my teachers, I'm not going to know how to do stuff. I'm not going to know what they expect out of me. Unless I go up to them and say, what do you expect out of me for chores? What do you expect out of me with my homework? You got to communicate. Unless we talk to God, we're not going to know what his thoughts are for our life. Many people in the Bible, we have this. These are written so that we can believe, the song says. These are also written for our admonition, right? Something to give us wisdom and guidance in life so we can learn by other people's mistakes or learn by the right ways, the right decisions they made. Jonah thought it was best to follow his own reasoning. Yep, not going to go to Nineveh, I'm going to go to Tarshish. Okay, he ended up in the bottom of the ocean, right? David knew the Ten Commandments, but he didn't open his Bible and remind himself of them, obviously, when he saw Bathsheba, and he messed up and reaped and reaped and reaped and reaped through his children, through his enemies all around him. He had a terrible amount of reaping. The Bible says you're going to reap a whirlwind. Make one bad decision. You don't just reap one bad thing. You reap a whirlwind.
Right.
Samson, he reaped for getting mixed up with the Philistine woman. He forgot to read, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers in his manual. Right? The Bible says that. I didn't say it. Korah, who rose up against Moses, forgot to read about submitting to those who have the rule over you. Saul forgot to study about pride going before destruction. Aren't those verses in there?
Sure.
And if we read them, we can know that's not going to lead us down the right path. And there's many, many more things in here we can read about warnings. But there's also people that can encourage us. The three Hebrew boys read their manual about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They were delivered from the fire, and they were giving very important positions in the kingdom. So they reaped a whirlwind of good things for standing up for what was right. Daniel also did the same thing. He didn't give in to peer pressure, opened those windows up and prayed. And the thought came to me, praying in the cafeteria, praying out in a restaurant, right? Sometimes it's kind of like, ooh, I don't want anybody to see me. Let me duck under the table real quick and pray. But he was proud of his God, and he prayed. And he had to go through a trial for it. But Daniel was one of the greatest. He also had a great position in the kingdom. He was given all kinds of honor and all kinds of things for standing up for what was right. Noah endured years of persecution. He had to be. He had to be made fun of for building this ark when it was just drier than dry. And yet, he did it through all the ridicule. Only his family was saved. But when you talk about the whole world being destroyed, it's kind of important to be the only one saved, right? On and on we could go about ones that did or didn't choose the right path. But the important thing is, are we looking in the manual? Are we obeying those who have the rule over us? We need to be careful that we're getting our advice from the right person. God's word and talking to God directly is probably your best route. But when you come to church, we know God talks through our pastor. We know God talks through our youth leaders. Those are also important things we should be listening to. There's influences to help you go down that right path. I've heard people stand up here when I was out there studying that would say, don't go down this path. Don't go down this path. I did this and messed my entire life up. That was a warning to me not to take that path.
Right.
And so when they have speakers come in here that talk to you about the scars that some of these people have had to go through, those are warnings. And then there's others that come in and give really good stories about how God led them and God's blessed them. And that's the path you want to take also, is by listening to them and following their lead. So now that you've graduated, now that you've got all those forks in the road, all those paths to take, Matthew 6:33 says, tells us what to do, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To make the right decision, pray, read the manual, go to your youth leaders for advice. If you have confidence in them, I hope you do. Go to your pastor for advice. Look at other spiritual people in the congregation. If you feel like, I've got a really important decision to make here. Do I go to college? Do I do this? Go to someone that can pray with you. They might not give you, they probably aren't going to give you the direct answer and say, yep, I think you're smart and you should go to college, right? But hopefully they can say, hey, you know, do you feel like your spirit's strong enough to handle this? They can kind of give you some advice that would really help you to make the right decision. So what now? I want to make lots of money. Maybe that's a big decision. Get out of school. Hey, I want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. Mom and dad, we never had nothing. We had to go to Goodwill. We had to eat leftovers all the time. I'm not going to live like that. Making lots of money isn't always a bad thing. The Bible says the love of money, right, is what can be the bad part about it. But Matthew 6:19-20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Mark 10:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible warns us. So if you're wanting to be rich, you can go and look up some of these verses and say, hey, some of these people that got wealth couldn't handle it.
Right.
And therefore, it's not for everyone. I think there's some people that can be wealthy and they give a lot of their money away. They can handle it. They give a lot to charity. They give a lot to this. They don't let it, you know, become a prideful thing. But I think there's some people that they get more money and they just want more and more and more and more, and it just takes them down. So not everybody can handle the same things. You've got to find out, is that the path I should take? Is a career with lots of money something that's going to hinder me or help me? 1 Timothy 6:9 says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So a lot of times money can just bring you down that way, right? A lot of temptations. The more money you have, the more tempted you are to go buy this, this, and this. The more things we have, the more things we have to take care of, the more campers and cars and houses we have, then we have to pay to put gas in them and pay for heat and pay for this. So it's just a vicious cycle. You need more money to take care of all your toys, right? So then I got to go work more because I got to pay for this. And now I can't be in church because I got to work more. And it's just getting a hold of us. And we become an unhappy person. So money can take you down a wrong path. You better pray. God, do you want me to have a career that makes lots of money? Because a lot of those careers take up a lot of your time. A doctor kind of works 24/7. Makes a lot of money, but he works 24/7 a lot of times. So is it going to take up too much of my time? Am I going to miss church? Am I not going to have time to read and pray because my job takes up too much stress and too much time? You better pray about that. God might see that you can't handle money. Maybe he wants to keep you humble. You know, sometimes like the older generation will tell us about how they had to pray for their next meal. And most of us don't know anything about that. But maybe God sees that he wants us to rely on him more and not rely on our money. Think about the debt that college can bring. Is college for me? I was just reading about, I think it was a veterinarian. They said it's one of the worst ones. And this one student talked about she's going to come out with $300,000 debt. It's going to take you a long time to pay off $300,000. It doesn't matter that you're going to make good money. It's going to take you a long time to pay off that debt. So you need to think about a lot of these choices, and seriously, it can hinder you. That debt can be so overwhelming, depress you so much. And if you don't go out there and actually find a job that makes good money with the way jobs are today, and you can't pay your bills, maybe that wasn't the thing for you. And it could just be a huge hindrance to you. The path of just where I should get a job. Maybe college is not something that interests you. It can be a difficult one because some jobs work you every weekend. Am I going to get in church? That should be an important thing to you because your soul will be hindered if you don't get in church. Is it going to work me all the time that I should be in church? And some have a party atmosphere. Some jobs, it's just a big party going on all the time. Or those people want to party after work all the time. So you're going to have that temptation, that drawing every time you get off work. Everybody's going out. Everybody's going to drink. Everybody's going to do this. Maybe that job's not for you. You might not be strong enough to handle that temptation. So you need to really, really seek God's face about that right job. because a job, even if it's a minimum paying, McDonald's, whatever, it can hinder you. The wrong people are working there, the wrong schedule, it can be a huge hindrance that leads you down a wrong path. Some people are weaker than others, so some people cannot handle the same type of job that maybe someone over here could handle, right? That's why your path is not going to be the same. What path does God want me to take? Right. What path does he know I can handle? Because some things are a bigger stumbling block to some people versus others. God's manual will let you know some things, like Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So we talked about that. Choosing something that's going to keep us out of a lot of church is probably going to hinder you spiritually. When we separate ourselves from the pack, I think Brother Dishman maybe just preached on that. Staying with the pack, staying with the herd. When you get out here on the edge and think, well, I'm going to go over here and do this, and I'm not going to get in church as much, but I'm going to go over here. You're that stray animal that gets devoured by the predator.
Right.
So you need to stay with the youth group. Stay involved. Because of the fellowship, the advice, the counseling, the encouragement, there is something to be said about getting involved with the youth activities, with church services, even with work days. Something is going to be there that's going to help you spiritually. And when you cut yourself off from those things, you become a weak animal out here that's going to be devoured by the predators.
Right.
Then there's this decision of choosing the right companion. And maybe some of you feel like you're several years away from that. But like I said, it is never too early to start praying. God, do you want me to get married? And if so, I want you to know right now, I don't want to mess up my life. Because I can tell you personally from watching a lot of young people I grew up with, they married the wrong one. Miserable, miserable, miserable. I can't tell you that enough. And I know you've heard that through warnings and warnings and warnings of messages about people messing up. And I remember my grandma used to always say, it is better to be single wanting to be married than to be married wanting to be single. You don't want to mess up your life. And you don't want to be just in this miserable state that you can't get out of. This is a very, 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 very important decision. I thought about passing out a piece of paper with a checklist, have all of you check what was important to you. Okay, what's important in looking for a guy and a girl? And you might say, oh, she's got to have blue eyes and blonde hair and the perfect shape, and he's got to have a muscular build, and he's got to have dark hair and dark eyes, and
no hair.
And unfortunately, that is kind of like, I would say, an immature thought, okay? When I was young, I had a whole vision of what I wanted. Okay, we're attracted to things, and we have this whole vision of, oh, he's got to look like this, and she's got to look like that. But I noticed by putting on some years out of school, maturity kind of starts setting in,
right. And
you start seeing what really is important.
Right.
Are they mature? Are they wanting to work? Are they wanting to go out and get a job? Are they wanting to make money? Are they wanting to get in church? Are they wanting to be saved? Are they wanting to be spiritual? All of a sudden, some things do change. The vision is a little different. When you get out of school, get out on your own, because you're in school, there's a lot of peer pressure to look good and to like people that look good. But you get out and you see what life's really all about, and it's not all about that. It is not all about looks, looking good. That is not the person that you're going to be able to get along with. It's someone that looks hot all the time, right? You better hope that they can get along with you, that they're not full of pride and vain and hoping everybody else is looking at them besides you. You better hope that there's a little maturity there, that the personalities can kind of mesh, right? Remember, God says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. So who he thinks you should have, trust me, is probably not going to be exactly what you think you should have. God knows if they're really saved or not. So you see someone and you think, well, he goes to the altar once in a while, and he comes to church once in a while. Oh, he must be saved. God knows the heart. God says he does, he looks at the heart. We see the outward appearance. So we need to ask God, what's in their heart? Do they really have a desire to live for you? Do they really mean business, or are they playing church? And are they playing church just to get me? Because people will do that, and I've seen that. I've had guys do that for me. Oh, I'm going to come to church. Do you want to go out with me? People will do that. Trust me. You better make sure you know. Let's get in the manual. Let's see what God has to say. God knows whether they really are. We better talk to God and ask him what he thinks about it. And God's probably not going to come down with this huge spotlight, and I always want him to do that. Come down, put the spotlight around the person. That is the one for you. It's probably not going to be quite that clear. Right? But there are ways of knowing what God wants for us through prayer, through His Word. And that's the way I want to be about everything. I want God to strike me, you know, like even about speaking tonight, I was like, okay, God didn't strike me with lightning to say I need to go do this. But if we check God's Word, there are some things you can know. You hear it preached on, what you should be looking for in a guy and a girl. Is he or she saved? That should be number one. Not the looks, but are they saved? That should be number one. Because if not, they can drag you down. They can drag you down. Is he or she Church of God? Well, I had a guy tell me, I can come to your church and I can give up everything for you except my shorts and TV. He's going to give it up, all of it, except two things. Are they really Church of God? Are they really living the standard that's preached? Or do you see rebellion in their lives? I don't think that's important. You can watch other young people and see that. It doesn't take a lot of wisdom to watch other young people and how they dress and how they act to see they're rebelling against what is preached.
Sure.
They don't think it's important. And it all goes back to what I said before, obedience. As long as we're obedient and submitting to the pastor, we're going down the right path. But when we start rebelling and thinking, this is not important, I'm not doing it quite that way, I'm going to dress just a little bit different than that, that's not a good characteristic to have in someone. And then, like I said, get around young people. Hang out in the youth group and see if you see that rebellious tendency there. Is he or she obedient to their parents and pastor? Or do you see them constantly breaking the rules at home? Constantly breaking curfew? Rebelling against what their parents tell them to do? Rebelling against what the pastor says to do? Do they honor and respect their parents? Or do they call them bad names? Old man, old woman. Show disrespect by saying different things about them. They're mean. They're nasty. I don't like them. I can't stand them. And they're not going to treat you any better than they're treating their parents. Trust me. They're being disrespectful to them. They're going to be disrespectful to you. Do they miss church a lot? I'll get there if I can, but this other thing's more important to me right now. What is number one in their life? It should be God, and you shouldn't be interested if God's not first in their life. Are they full of pride in how they dress and how they act? Do they really think they're something? They're not going to have time for you if they're number one, and they're not going to have time for God either. Do they follow what's preached? We talked about that, the standard, or are they always riding the fence? I've saw that with a lot of young people, and trust me, they're not here today. So you're not going to be here if you're constantly riding the fence. It'll take a miracle. Those type of young people usually do not hang around. And I watched this type of stuff. I thought, you know what? How am I going to raise children with this type of a person? They don't live the standard. They don't see eye to eye on what the pastor preaches. How are we going to raise our children if it's like a matter of, do we bring a TV in or not? Do we let them dress this way or not? Do we let them get involved in this or not? And you have this constant pull, and you're not going to have a happy home if he sees things one way and she sees things one way. Do they get involved at church with work days? Get up and pray at church? Get up and testify at church? Do you see fruits? The Bible talks about if you're saved, we should see fruits. So if you're wanting to know somebody's saved, the Bible tells you, there'll be fruits. In other words, you're going to see it. They're going to go to the altar once in a while. They're going to get up and testify once in a while. They're going to participate here in Young People's. I thought that was good. Young people getting up and singing, participating here.
Right.
So that is an important thing, to be a part of God's service. Are they a willing and active member at the Church of God?
Amen.
Are they good with money? That's a very important thing. The Bible tells us even. We should be good stewards over our things. So we want somebody with good money, be good with their money, because if they're not, and they just spend, and you go out with them all the time, and you see where it's like, hey, can I borrow off you? I don't have the money again. Can I borrow? You're going to have a very hard time being married to that kind of a person, because you're going to always be in debt, not paying your bills, losing your home, losing your car. You're going to have a difficult time. So it is important to watch how people are with their money.
True.
Does he want to work, or is he lazy? I hung out with some young people. There was one that was just like, I'm not going. He wasn't too interested in getting a job, and he'd handle a job a couple days, and then it was just like, you know, there was definitely a lazy tendency there. And you're going to struggle if you have someone you're dating that has no interest in work. These are answers we can find in God's manual. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. And God's telling you, I want something good for you. You seek me first. You put me first, I'm going to give you all these things. So that's a big key, putting God first. And I know that God spared me many things. I mentioned a few things, but just mentioned a few things way back. I think I was 16 or 17. 16, I think. Liking a guy that was just fun, cool, fun to be around, and just the life of the party. Well, then the church split came, and he was gone. He came back one service and tried to drag me away. He didn't stand, and you know, it's just like, and you know, I mean, I don't know if any of you ever had this happen before, but I had almost like bells going off in my head, ding, 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 when something they said or something they did just was not quite right. It's like, they're not quite obeying the pastor. They're not quite seeing things the way I was brought up to see things. God will warn you. He will have those little bells or whatever you want to say go off and say, wait a minute, there is something wrong. And you better back away from that situation when you're feeling that, hearing that, because it is a warning. And there was times, I look back at how God spared me many things. And it was God warning me. There was times, another situation I got in, which I was always like, I will never go for the charmer. You know, the guy that has all the girls and everybody likes him. And he tells the same thing to the same girl, so you can't believe him. And then I fell for one. And I dated him. And it was just like, he didn't respect me and my beliefs. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. You know, it was like if we would get on about the church standard or something, it was like, nope, he didn't see eye to eye. He'd put me on mute on the phone. He would walk away from me. No respect. And it just kept coming to me. It was like, once again, the bell's going off. And I even told him, how would we ever raise a family together? We don't see eye to eye. We don't see things the same way. There's something going to be definitely wrong here. Oh, he thought it was no big deal. These things weren't important to him. And he hadn't been saved real long, but he was coming to church. Gonna, you know, I thought just to date me. And I will tell you, that was one of the worst things to get out of. You can get out of a situation. Don't ever feel pressured into a relationship. When you have the bells going off, when you're not feeling comfortable, when you're feeling like someone's not respecting you, get out. And it might be hard, but it's going to be much harder if you have to go through a divorce and there's children involved and there's money involved and there's all kinds of other things involved. Get out while you can. And I'll tell you what, when I went to break up with him, I had the worst stomach ache ever. I mean, I was bent over. I have never had something like that happen. But it was like there was a bondage almost there that I felt like I could not get away from him. Almost like a fear. Don't ever let that happen. When those bells start going off and you're feeling like something's just not right, get out of it.
Right.
But God did help me to get out of that. So there's things to be said, you know, and I'll tell you, I had a reputation. I remember hearing about it. I had a reputation for thinking I was better. I was too good to date people. Thinking I was better than everybody. And I was like, okay, I'll take that reputation any day over being loose and fancy free. And so that's how it was. I said no a lot of times. Because you just automatically know when some people are not living for God and some people are just not up to par. Don't even begin the relationship.
Right.
You should not even begin to date when you know there's already a question there. Don't even begin. And then there's going to be times you're going to think, okay, everything seems up front, good to go, and you get in the relationship and you start seeing things. And this is why I want to encourage all of you to go out as groups. I found that was so helpful, to go out as a big group. We would go out many times after church, Friday nights, different other times, as groups. And people are going to show themselves. If they're not up to par, if they're not spiritual, oh, the tempers start flying. They show themselves out at the restaurant. You're going to see characteristics and things that you know, I should not date someone like that. This is not for me. So that's the best way to get to know people without hurting someone's feelings and having to break up with them. Go out as groups. Get to know people in group settings. And then you don't have to worry about all those, you know, all those times of, I gotta break up with them, I don't wanna hurt their feelings, and but you don't wanna marry someone that you're gonna be miserable with the rest of your life either. So you better get out of that relationship. Is that, oh goodness. All right, let me try to hurry here. I knew I had too many notes here. Like I said, I've seen a lot of young people get on the wrong path, and I was looking up statistics. You know, today, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Now, there was a little bit lower statistic when they said religious people, but some people even had conflicts there. They said even though they're religious, there still is a high divorce rate, even with religious people. So we already know statistics is not good for marriage. And the only way you're going to be able to really hang in there and have a solid marriage is if you're both living for God.
Right.
You've got to both be living for God. And like we talked before, you can be assured that when you're dealing with whatever you're dealing out to your parents now, you are going to reap. If you're rebelling against your parents, giving them a hard time, trust me, your kids will do the same thing to you. And even much worse, because we reap worse than what we deal out. So think about that when you're giving your parents a hard time, that you are going to have to deal with that one of these days. You can have a happy life with God's blessings, being blessed with a good job, a happy home, lots of good things, if you will put God first in making your decision and wait on the Lord. Sometimes that is the key word, wait. I had to wait. Like I said, I was in the youth group until I was 30. I was 30, my husband was 33 before we got married. Okay, so don't feel pressured. I had kids all around me getting married as soon as school was out. That was kind of the going thing then. Get married as soon as you're 18. As soon as school's out, get married. Everybody was doing it. But I was very much worried about marrying the wrong one. I really was. And I waited and waited and waited because I did not want to make a mistake. I was very fearful about that. And it's good to be fearful about that because it's a huge decision.
Right.
Huge decision. And you don't want to mess up. At one point in our relationship, Rodney and I's brother Dishman preached a message about praying about decisions, making the right choices. And it was just like, I got scared and I thought, am I doing the right thing? Did I really pray about this? Or did I just kind of fall into this relationship? So we took time off from our relationship. I said, I want you to really pray about it. And I want to really pray about it. And if you're going out all the time, it's kind of hard to be praying about it, right? Sometimes we need to separate ourselves from the situation to say, God, is this really you? Is this really you? Or is this me? And so we took time off to really pray about this. And in my mind, it's kind of like a puzzle. I got this cheapo dollar puzzle from the dollar store. Does it look like it's what it's supposed to be? Does something look wrong with it? It's kind of like a puzzle, our lives, trying to put all the right pieces in the right place. And if we don't, it looks like this. It looks like a mess. And I look at young people, and I look at people that are my age, and their lives are a mess because I didn't make the right choice about college.
Right.
I didn't make the right choice about a job. And trust me, sometimes college, I mean, when I went to college, it's like not for everybody because there's a party scene there. There's a lot of worldly people there. I remember taking psychology, and it really made me question whether Christianity was a cult. A lot of the things they brought out, you got to be strong to be in college. You better pray, and it's college for me. If we don't put the pieces in the right place, our life is a mess. And everybody looking on sees that. They see, oh, I feel sorry for her. Her life's a mess, and she's miserable for the rest of it. She's miserable. And you see people. They're not happy because they stay in a marriage because they feel like they have to, and they're miserable, miserable, miserable for years. God wants good things for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to have a good end. And the way you're going to have a good end is by putting him first, seeking first the kingdom of God, stand on his promises. I remember thinking many times, am I going to be an old maid? Am I never going to get married? Does God not want this for me? But I would stand on his promises. We can stand on God's promises. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If God knows how many hairs I have in my head every day, and I lose a bunch every day, if he knows how many I have in my head today and tomorrow, that's detailed.
Right.
God is detailed.
Right.
That means he cares about every little thing. He cares about the choice you're going to make tomorrow about school. He cares about the choices you're going to make about college and jobs. He cares about those. So ask him about it because he already knows what's best for you. He already knows which path you should take in life. Stay true to God. Don't be up and down. Be determined to do what's right. Listen for God's voice. Follow the manual. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right.
Don't be in a hurry, but wait on the Lord. Make the right choices. Don't be a fatal statistic. Make the right choices. It's so important. Like I said, I watch so many people that have to reap and reap and reap. People that even still come to church, but they have very unhappy lives because they went out and rebelled. They made wrong choices, and now they have to reap. And not only do they reap, their children reap. Their family reaps. Other people have to reap. There's a lot of people involved with the choices you make. So make sure you're making the right choice.